Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill. I'm sitting in for Dr. Youngblood, and it's always my honor and pleasure to be able to do so. Dr. Youngblood had to take care of a family situation and asked me to sit in, and I'm glad to do it. The regular listeners have heard me host the show before or have heard me be a guest with Dr. Youngblood during one of his broadcasts. But for those of you who have not heard before, just want to briefly give you a background of who I am and where I reside. I'm in Pensacola, Florida. I was previously in the Air Force for 10 years after graduating from the Air Force Academy. After those 10 years of active duty, I then started a insurance and financial services agency, which I've been doing now for 33 years. Meanwhile, I was elected to the Florida State House District 2 in 2013, and then in District 1 in 2018. I'm currently no longer in office, so I call myself a recovering politician and glad of it. But that is me, Mike Hill, and we're going to be discussing many different issues today, both on the national level and also some here in the state of Florida. If you would like to join the show with your question or comment, the number is 904-831-0917. So, as I mentioned, we're going to be getting into a lot of things, but I want to ask this question first. Ask you to think about it and then call in with your thoughts. This is February, which has now been designated Black History Month. Here's my question. Should we celebrate as a nation Black History Month? Why or why not? You know, at one time it was Black History Week. Now it's Black History Month. Why or why not should we celebrate or not celebrate Black History Month? Then we also have the new federal holiday that the Biden regime installed, and that is the Juneteenth holiday, which is June 17th, the day that the slaves in Texas were notified afterwards about the Emancipation Proclamation that they were now free. So, should we make that a national holiday? Why or why not? Two things to think about. Oh, and before we even go there, the month of June is now called Gay Pride Month. Why on earth does someone want to be proud of such a lifestyle? I have no idea. But it used to be also just Gay Pride Week. Now it's turned into a month. Should we or should we not celebrate as a nation a month for sodomy? Again, if you want to call in and join the discussion, the number is 904-831-0917. Okay, let's get started. It's been announced that Senator Dianne Feinstein will not run for re-election in 2024. Folks, normally I would say that that is reason for celebration. But the reason why I don't celebrate is because we know those who are going to be running for that position, including Representative Adam Schiff, are worse than Dianne Feinstein. So the fact that she has been in office for 30 years, and she is the oldest Democrat in the upper chamber, that is, in the Senate, decided that she will not seek re-election, and it was time. I mean, it's unfortunate that because of her age, she was suffering from cognitive abilities to not be able to focus, be able to remember things. And, you know, it's kind of sad to see that happening. We also see it happening with our current president, Joe Biden. Joe Biden it is very obvious that he cannot always comprehend what is going on around him. His dementia is evident. His cognitive abilities are in sharp decline from where they were just 2 years ago, or much more than they were just 4 years ago. And the fact that they are propping him up as our president, in my mind, I'll call it elder abuse. He should not be there. And it's obvious to everyone right now that he does not have the cognitive ability to lead a nation like the United States, or any other nation for that matter. And we also know that he's not the one making the decisions. I have my thoughts on who's actually making the decisions for him. And there are others who weigh in who have said that it's his wife, Jill Biden, who's calling the shots. But I think it's much larger than that. I think we're looking at what can be called the deep state. We can look at the globalists, those on the Council for Foreign Relations, those with the World Health Organization. The globalists are the ones, I believe, that are calling the shots for Joe Biden, not just for Joe Biden, but for the Democrat Party in total, because they are leftists who believe in globalism. So Dianne Feinstein is going to not seek re-election. Actually, I think she should just step down. You know, bless her heart. She should just step down, let them have a special election to fill her seat or be appointed, however they do that. I'm not quite sure of the rules there, but I think she should step down because it's obvious that she does not know what's going on, but she likely won't because she is a sure vote for them and what they... how they can get their agenda passed. So they need her there just for her vote. But as I say, those who are going to be replacing her aren't much better. Okay, here's another topic. The Republican Party, the House Republicans, are beginning an investigation into the origins of COVID. Okay, so I think anyone who's been paying attention knows where COVID came from. It came from a lab in Wuhan, China, that was funded by Anthony Fauci's organization. They provided the funding for this gain of function experimental virus. Gain of function meaning that they wanted to see how an animal that has been infected with this virus, how it can be transferred to humans. It was done in that Wuhan lab, and then it escaped. I don't know if it was intentional or unintentional, but the results have been disastrous. It has been utterly amazing the destruction that that virus has caused. But even worse than the virus itself was the government lockdowns, the government response to this virus, including in the United States and other so-called free nations, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Germany, the nations went berserk with their lust for power and the lockdowns that were put in place, including in our beloved Florida. We were locked down for 6 months. Businesses were closed, many of them permanently. People lost their jobs. Children were not allowed to go to school. It was an utter disastrous response from the government. So now House Republicans have asked former White House Chief Medical Advisor Anthony Fauci to testify before Congress. What I don't understand is, what do you mean you're asking him to testify before? Why don't you subpoena him like that illegal January 6th committee did for so many Americans? And those who would not comply, they had them placed in contempt of Congress, such as Steve Bannon and others. But now they're saying they're asking Dr. Fauci to come before their committee. And it's the leaders of the Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic and Committee on Oversight and Accountability. That's where they want him to appear before. Now, Fauci said in November that he would cooperate with any oversight hearing in a Republican-led House. We'll see. Many scientists, including Fauci, who until December served as Biden's chief medical advisor, say they still believe the virus most likely emerged in nature and jumped from animals to humans, a well-documented phenomenon known as a spillover event. I think that's a bunch of nonsense right there myself, folks. I think that they instead, it wasn't some natural way that it jumped from animals to humans. It was because of the research that was done in that Wuhan lab where they were gain of function, where they were determining how they were going to make that happen. Virus researchers have not publicly identified any key new scientific evidence that make the lab leak hypothesis more likely. Well, of course it does. That was a snippet from the Associated Press from the left, and it amazes me how the left is still trying to push the narrative that we need to have vaccines, we need to keep our social distancing, we need to wear masks, that this leak was, or that this virus being unleashed on the world was a natural phenomenon that took place. It is utterly amazing to me that in the face of all the evidence that we have right now, that they would have the audacity to just lie like that and say that the virus was accidentally jumped from an animal to a human, they say, at a wet bat place where they sell food and so forth. Nonsense. But at any rate, the Republicans are going to start an investigation to the origins of the virus, and we'll see what they come up with. Hopefully, they'll come up with the truth, which we have already seen in abundance evidence of spread in other areas. Then there's as Sarah Huckabee said in her response to Biden's State of the Union address, which, by the way, folks, I haven't watched a State of the Union address since President Bush held a emergency one after the 9/11 attack. I haven't watched it since for either party, Republican or Democrat. And the reason why I don't is because it's nothing more than just a propaganda event where they pat themselves on the back on how well of a job they've been doing, whether the job has been good or not. It's not a true State of the Union address, letting us know where are we as a union. They don't. They just it's a propaganda ploy is what they do. And so I haven't watched one in quite some time. But Sarah Huckabee gave such an excellent response to a rebuttal to the lies that were told by Joe Biden, said what we're seeing is not the left against the right. What we are seeing is the insane against normal. I think she used the word crazy versus normal. I think it goes even deeper than that. It's evil versus normal. It's evil versus good. Those on the left are behaving like they have absolutely lost their minds and are pushing, and we see it so evident now with this regime, Biden regime in office, They're pushing their narrative to the full tilt, knowing that they don't have much time. So they're trying to get as much as they can as possible. Witness the in December, the passing of that omnibus bill, spending another $1.7 trillion, which we don't have. We can't even pay the interest hardly on our current debt of $31 trillion. And they want it to grow, and they made it grow. I don't think that the Republicans pushed back hard enough, where if they did, the press didn't cover it. Here's another interesting take. Nikki Haley enters the 2024 presidential race. Now, I'll say from the start, in my opinion, Nikki Haley doesn't have a chance at all. And I believe she knows that, too. So why this posturing, I don't know. But Nikki Haley, who was a former South Carolina governor and United Nations ambassador until President Trump fired her, said Tuesday she is entering the 2024 Republican presidential nomination race in a move that puts her in a direct competition with her one-time boss, former President Donald Trump. She issued this statement: "It's time for a new generation of leadership to rediscover fiscal responsibility, secure our border, and strengthen our country, our pride, and our purpose." Of course, it's time for that. It was time for that before Trump was elected. It was time for that a long time ago. And just because you say it's time for it now, and that's why you're running for president, doesn't mean it's going to happen. Ms. Haley said in an announcement video released a day before, she is scheduled to give a formal campaign speech in Charleston, South Carolina. Ms. Haley's remarks seem to reference the age of some of the top candidates expected to be there in the race. Mr. Trump is 76, while President Biden, who is expected to make a formal announcement in March or April, oh, Lord, I hope his announcement is he's not going to run. But the left is so crazy, he'll probably say that he is. President Biden is 80 years old. So the 51-year-old Nikki Haley is the first major Republican candidate to commit to taking on Mr. Trump, who launched his third consecutive White House bid in November. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, looks like we have a caller on the line. It's Jamie. Jamie wants to make a comment regarding Black History Month. Jamie, please go ahead with your thoughts or your question.
Okay, no problem. Hey, I just wanted to comment. I'm a Black Christian man here, and me personally, I don't see any need for having Black History Month. This day and age, because to me, it creates more of a separatist society. It divides more than it brings together. And so, you know, that's really, you know, I just don't see any need for it today.
Jamie, I'm going to say that I agree with you 100%. I want others to call in and give us your thoughts. If you agree or not, we want to hear your thoughts. But I agree with you, Jamie. It does create, it separates us instead of uniting us. And what we see is that it really hasn't affected any change to the positive in our society. We've been celebrating and first started out Black History Week since the 50s. And then it turned into Black History Month. And the idea is because people say that not everyone knows of the major contributions that Black Americans have made to the United States. Well, if you're not going to learn it in school, in fact, if you want to learn anything, don't base it on what you're being taught in school. Instead, educate yourself. Do your own digging. Do your own exploration, if that is what you want to learn. And you can learn some amazing things by doing so. Now, speaking of separating us as a nation, there's this movement to remove our historical monuments, particularly monuments that those on the left feel offended by. And it's not just monuments that are offensive to them because they have Confederate names or were part of the Civil War. It's anything that stands for what this United States is built on, and that is freedom, individual rights, personal liberties. They want to tear down any monument that has to do with that. We have another caller on the line, Lunel. Lunel is going to talk to us a bit about how they want to tear down a monument in the Arlington Cemetery. Lunel, are you on the line?
I am, Mike. Thanks so much for taking my call. And, you know, Jamie really teed up this my call perfectly because, you know, the removal of a monument in Arlington National Cemetery is ununiting and undividing. The monument that you mentioned is named the Reconciliation Memorial, and it was erected after the Spanish-American War when the Sons of Confederate Veterans and the Sons of Union Veterans and a few of the veterans themselves joined together under one flag in that conflict. And so President McKinley sought to enact Lincoln's second inaugural address, Malice Towards None and Charity for All, and to strive to bind up the nation's wounds. And so they set up a plot in Arlington National Cemetery to care for the graves of the Southern soldiers. And later, a few years later, a memorial was placed in the center of that circular plot. And today, fast forward, well, let me back up. Four presidents worked on that monument, not only McKinley, but Roosevelt, Taft, and Wilson, who dedicated in 1914. And it was sculpted by perhaps the world's most famous Jewish artist, Moses Ezekiel. And it's a beautiful, massive, and magnificent work of art. But fast forward to the summer of 2020, when Senator Elizabeth Warren exploited the death of George Floyd to continue the evil efforts to eradicate American history from view, this time through an amendment to the Armed Forces Appropriations Act and creating something we've been hearing about called the Naming Commission. But what we haven't heard about is the last report that came out in September, almost no news coverage, but they recommended to remove this beautiful and historically significant monument to reconciliation and reunification at our nation's iconic cemetery.
Hey, Lunel, describe for the listener, please, some of the features of this monument that they want to tear down.
Well, the main feature, of course, is in the center of about 500 graves of service members and their wives. It's about 30 foot tall. It's made of bronze. It was made by the artist Moses Ezekiel in Germany, and they can see a picture at defendarlington.org. We have a photograph of it there, defendarlington.org. It has a beautiful angel on the top that's symbolic of peace, and there's a Bible verse about the plowshares and becoming peaceful, and it has about 30 life-size figures in bas relief around the memorial itself. And actually, Mike, there's two what appears to be people of color on the featured in those 30 life-size sculptures. And that is one thing that the naming commission, the woke naming commission, the Elizabeth Warren evil henchmen hate, because one of them is a woman with a man and a child. And he's being obviously in a uniform, being off to war, and he's giving her the child, and they're looking at the child, and she has tears coming down her eyes. And they just hate that because they just can't understand that there could be love between races in the South. And number two, the other image that they hate is another, what appears to be African-American. And this is one of four sculpted men wearing uniforms that look very smart and erect and are, you know, looking martial, going off to war, marching in rank and file. And one of the men on the in the file there, in the second row, appears to have African American features. And, you know, they just hate that. They just hate to see the unification of the South against, you know, what was the invasion that was happening. There's also 14 state seals, and they hate that because they think it's aggrandizing the resistance and the population of the troops that comprised the southern side during the war.
So, Lunell,
but
what do they want
it's a
to
beautiful
do with
monument.
This beautiful monument? It is beautiful. I've seen pictures of it. What do they want to do with it?
The Naming Commission report, and they can see that in our white papers on the website, defendarlington.org, is dispose of it at the least cost possible.
So this means going into a burial ground, an area, Arlington National Cemetery, using heavy equipment, which means you're going to have to trespass on burial sites to remove this beautiful sculpture. Is that correct?
You know, they have a plan. They say there's no harm going to come. But the Moses Ezekiel, who is the sculptor, and was himself a Southern soldier. He was as a cadet at Virginia Military Institute, at the Battle of New Market. And after he died, he asked to be buried at the base of the memorial, and he is just inches away. So I can't imagine how they could do that and not disturb something there, the remains of somebody,
now,
including
him. We have
him.
About a minute left until the hard break at the top of the hour. Tell listeners how they can get in touch with you and what they can do to get involved to stop this leftist takedown of a sacred memorial.
The best thing they can do is to call their representative in Congress. And we have they have a pin, I have the number for the Capitol switchboard, and tell them to defund the Naming Commission's recommendations and to protect and preserve the memorial at Arlington National Cemetery, the Reconciliation Memorial. That number is 202-224-3121. And we also have a quick little widget on the website, defendarlington.org, that they can also send an email. But the phone is really the most effective.
Lunell, thank you so much for joining the show today. We're coming up on a hard break, but appreciate you sharing this important information. Ladies and gentlemen, call in to Congressman. Tell them to defund this initiative.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.